II, since the signing of the United Nations Charter, that a country has gotten away with expanding its border by force, and that a colony has been denied the right of self-determination. And this is particularly bad timing given the increasing repression. I mean, not only has Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch documented these the kinds of abuses that we've seen in terms of the Kaya family, but Freedom House, a U.S.-based group that has a quantitative analysis of relative human rights records, noted that of 210 countries in the world, Western Moroccan-occupied Western Sahara has the worst score in terms of political rights in any country in the world, save for Syria. And so, you know, the idea that this autonomy is going to give the people of Sahrawi their rights, I mean, we've seen what happens when authoritarian states grant so-called autonomy to regions. We think of Ethiopia and Eritrea, Serbia and Kosovo. It doesn't come out well.
Professor Stephen Zunis teaches politics at the University of San Francisco. His books include Western Sahara War, Nationalism and Conflict, Irresolution. Go to democracynow.org to see our documentary, 4 Days in Western Sahara, Africa's Last Colony. That does it for our broadcast. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe.
This is KBOO Portland.
Show your support for KBOO programming by picking up the special limited edition KBOO Keeping It Real throwback t-shirt. Like KBOO, this nostalgic design never goes out of style. Get yours now at kboo.fm/realshirt. That's R-E-E-L shirt. And thank you for supporting KBOO listener-sponsored community radio.
Good morning. Today is March 21st, and you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 Corvallis, Albany, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. I am Cecil Prescott this morning, but every day I'm Cecil Prescott. And I thank you for spending some of your valuable time with us this morning. Ray is our engineer, and I am. We are flying without Celeste this morning, so be gentle with us. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Give us a call when we open up the lines and share your thoughts and your wisdom, your insights to us and to all those around us. And today is actually the first full day of spring, officially. So happy spring to everyone, and I hope your spring is a wonderful one, that you will spring up with excitement with the possibilities of spring. I was walking around my neighborhood the other day, and I said, oh, I need to start taking some pictures of the spring bursting forth. And I also wanted to note and saw that I needed to take some pictures of the cherry blossoms. And I was just had a moment to stop and just wonder of how amazing the creation is. At least it will be until we succeed in destroying it, and climate change is real, and whether or not we want to do anything about it, we don't have much time. But not wanting to put you in a down mood necessarily. I would invite you to reflect on some things with me this morning. Today, March 21st, Ketanji Brown Jackson will begin her confirmation hearing in the U.S. Senate. If confirmed by the U.S. Senate, she will be the first black woman on the United States Supreme Court. And there will be, for the first time ever, four of the nine justices on the U.S. Supreme Court will be women. Slowly and gradually, we are lurching our way to some symbol of parity, but there's a lot more work to be done. Some Republicans have hinted that they will oppose the nomination, and if not oppose, they have allowed us to see some of their objections. So you'll have senators such as Josh Hawley, who are weary of the possibility of the Honorable Judge serving on the U.S. Supreme Court, and the minority leader in the U.S. Senate has not said whether or not he will vote for her or not. She has faced the U.S. Senate three former times, and each time she has met the Senate approval. She was nominated for the U.S. Sentencing Commission, and she passed that. She was nominated for the U.S. Court of Appeal, and she got she was confirmed on that, and that was a little less than a year ago when she was nominated to the U.S. Court of Appeal for the District of Columbia Circuit. She received some bipartisan support, and the question remained, will she receive any Republican votes this time? Now the Democrats hold a slim majority in the U.S. Senate, so they do not need Republican support, but it would be nice. Considering that if she is approved, she will not tilt the ideological balance on the U.S. Supreme Court. It will remain a overwhelmingly conservative court, six conservative and three moderate/liberals. So she won't change the outcome of important votes. But I think it is important for us just to think about what type of court we want. On May 22, 1962, Malcolm X said in a speech, "The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman." And as we wind down Women History Month, let us reflect just this moment on what that means for us and what it might mean for a black woman to sit on the U.S. Supreme Court. So if you have some thoughts about that, I would encourage your wisdom to share about what will you be listening for during the next 4 days as she is grilled or questioned by the Judiciary Committee of the U.S. Senate. What do you expect to hear? What are you looking forward to? But that's just one area of concern that you might want to address this morning. I just, representation matter, and I think it's important, especially when I, am talking with brown and black girls, and see them. I'm thinking of one in particular, and she thinks it's so important for them, for there to be representation of brown and black women that she can look up to. But that's a 6-year-old perspective, Jania's perspective. But what are your thoughts about this? Give us a call, 503-231-8187. Now, we are also aware of something has changed in Oregon and Washington in the last couple of weeks, and that is the lifting of mandatory wearing a mask in indoor places. Are you continuing to wear your mask? If so, why? If not, why? Do you feel comfortable entering into places where there are many people, or maybe just a few people? Are you comfortable without wearing a mask? I'm conflicted by that. I'm not conflicted, but I continue to wear a mask, and because I think it's a way to protect myself and to protect my community. And I'm a pessimist by nature, so when I see the new strain of Omicron in England, I know in a few weeks it will be here in the United States, and I think there have been a few cases already documented in the United States. And although hospitalization are no longer as high as they were a few months ago, and deaths are fewer, we are grateful for that. How comfortable are you not wearing a mask? What has changed in your interaction with other people in public? How are you different than you were 2 years ago? So if you have some thoughts about the mask, do you wear it? Do you continue to insist other people wear it? What do you do when you are in the company of other people? What are the etiquettes that should be requested in public arenas? This last weekend, Portland itself was the host of a couple of NCAA tournament men's basketball games. Now, this may or may not be of interest to you, but it was certainly thought of as something that was good for the local economy. What are your thoughts about that? And also, on a more serious note, May 17th, 2022. It's less than 2 months away. May 17th. Now, if you are somewhat of a history buff, you will know that May 17th is the anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education. Well, and that was in 1954, I believe. Well, I'm not suggesting that May 17th, 2022, we hold a celebration of the 68th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education. But I am hoping that those of you who are Oregon residents will cast your ballots in the elections. That is the primary date. And while there has been movement in many quarters, I think that there's been a dearth of conversation about the primary elections, and they are meaningful in many ways. Statewide will be the first time in a long time that the governor's seat will be open. There are, I believe, two major candidates running in the Democratic primary, and there are a slew of candidates running in the Republican primaries. Also, this election, although she isn't a candidate in the primary, but this election in November, there will be a third well-funded independent candidate, former State Senator Betsy Johnson, who will be a factor. So, there will, depending on the outcome of the primary elections in the Democratic and Republican fields, we will have an election with three major candidates for governor in November. Now, except for, I think, one time in the 1990s, the Republican candidate has not received less than 40% of the vote. The Democrats have held the seat of governor since the election of 1986. So it's been a long run of Democratic governors in the state of Oregon. Will this be the year in which there will be a change? Some political forecasters have noted the change of what happened in Virginia a few months ago when a Republican was elected of governor of that state. That was a state that President Joe Biden won by more than 10% of the vote. There is much a sense of discomfort among the electorate because of the ongoing pandemic, because of inflation, because of concerns and worry about the war in Ukraine and the possible expansion of that war. So things might happen and people might want a change. What are your thoughts about the governor's election? Is it something you are focusing on? Have you even thought about it? I know we haven't seen many political ads, but you will, in coming weeks, be inundated with political ads on your social media, on your television, and in your mailbox. You will receive flyers and knocks on the doors from concerned people wanting you to vote for the candidate of their preference. But the May 17th primary is not only about the governor elections, but also 26 of the 60 House members in the Oregon House of Representatives will not run for their seat this year. 43% of House members will not run for their seats this year. So there might be a sea change. There's a possibility of a sea change of who will be sitting, will be representing us in the U.S., in the Oregon House of Representatives. Some people decided not to run for re-election because they are running for other offices. Several candidates have said that they cannot afford to be House representatives because it is a part-time job. It's not a full-time. They do not earn full-time pay for it, and they find it impossible to maintain to be effective representatives in the Oregon House of Representatives, carry on another job and other responsibilities such as family, raising children, and provide a source of income that will allow them and their family live in comfort. So, you know, there was a special session of the call by the governor that ended a few weeks ago, and so a part-time gig has become almost a full-time gig. And so, if people cannot afford to live and cannot afford to be representative, will those who represent us in the U.S., in the Oregon House and Senate, be those who are independently wealthy or retired? I don't think that's a good sign for how we want things to live. And to add information about election on May 17th, two of those of you in Portland, Portland commissioners, races will be impacted, and we will vote on in Portland. So I've shared several things this morning, the confirmation hearings of the Honorable Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, the lifting of mask mandates, and the primary elections that will take place in 2 months. Give us a call at 503-231-8187, and we'll hear from Ali. Good morning.
Good morning, Cecil. I'm listening to your show, as I always do, and Celeste, and I just wanted to respond to your first the first subject you brought to mind, which is the whether we should mask or unmask at this point now that masks have been dropped. So I just wanted to read a brief Facebook, my closest friend from college, that was this morning, and so it says, "Let this be a lesson to us all." She and her husband have the suspicion. Well, anyway, we let our guard down last weekend. We attended the funeral for one of my oldest and dearest friends. The family had requested attendees be fully vaccinated or tested and masked, and there were very few masked folks there. You know what I'm going to tell you? Half the family and most of the close circle of friends, including us, got sick. She said they got their positive PCR test back, and they're expecting their doctor is going to put them on the antiviral, but, you know, 4 days of headaches and not feeling well, blah, blah, blah. I won't read the whole thing, but yeah. I think it speaks for itself. And, of course, we all want this to be over, and I certainly do too, but that I don't think I have to say anymore. Right. I mean, this is just the truth of the situation. It's not what people want or think, or you can take off your mask like my friend did and go to the funeral of a close friend, and even though everyone's vaccinated and everything else, look what happened. So that's the risk that you take. And then, of course, there's the long haul situation of people, you know, even with and I read all the comments of, you know, and they're talking about friends who have had barely sick, like a cold, but then there's the long the long term. So I just want to hearken back to the early days of this terrible pandemic. We still don't know very much about it, and we still don't know what it does in the long term. So I think it's best to be safe, and I'm glad the good weather's coming so we can be outside without masks and visiting with friends. That's all I wanted to say on your show this morning. Thank you for your great show.
Thank you so much for calling and sharing the fact.
Well, I'm sorry to have to share that, but that is the truth of the situation. So.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you. And
you know, we all could be tired of this pandemic and this terrible disease, but someone has not told COVID that it's over yet. So until COVID receives the message, I think, as our caller just shared, that people, even including those who are vaccinated, the virus continues to spread, and that people will continue to be sick. And although we might have a short-term memory, the fact is that literally, and I need to check it, the current statistic, that there are a couple of thousands of people who are dying in the U.S. Each day from COVID. And although the hospitalization rate and the death rate are lower, we are so grateful for that, people continue to be sick. So how do we manage living in this new reality? Give us a call about this or other concerns. We mentioned also the confirmation here of the Honorable Ketanji Brown Jackson, the primary date elections, and whether or not you are concerned, or what are your thoughts about the elections this spring? And as our last caller just shared, some wisdom about the lifting of mask mandates. How will it impact your life? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And we will hear some wisdom from Bart. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for that kind intro. I want to piggyback on your last caller. The deal with the vaccine that we have now, and most vaccines, is they tend to help reduce infection, and they tend to give you less serious outcomes, generally speaking, but they do not prevent you from getting or carrying COVID.
Yes.
So, you know, yeah, everybody would like to believe this is over. I would like to believe this is over, but, you know, when I'm outside, I don't wear a mask very much, but if I'm going into a building where people are or going to be in close proximity to a lot of other folks, I just put my mask on.
Really?
You know, you're going to pay for this one way or the other. You can pay for it with a little bit of freedom that you enjoy and savor, or you're going to pay for it with long-term consequences. But everybody needs to be aware that the reality is it's coming, it's here, so be your own best friend and be wise.
I like
Thanks.
Thank you so much. I like how you ended your statement. Be your own best friend and be wise. And the insight that, you know, the vaccination is not a cure-all. It doesn't make that you, isn't proof that you will not get sick. It will lessen the symptoms if you catch the virus, and things will be a little bit easier. However, the long-term consequences continue, and also the impact on family and friends. So it may seem a little inconvenient, but you know, I remember, what was it, about 30 years ago when the U.S. government first mandated speed limits on the highways, and people say, that's my freedom and I can drive as fast as I want. And people gradually changed their habits. You remember the time when there was that big argument about seat belts, and people argued about their freedom, and now people buckle up without thinking. It might be for the present and going forth that putting on masks in situation where there are a lot of people might be something we may not think of, and not think of it as an infringement on one's liberty. And this whole libertarian argument is something else we can talk about, but it's not necessarily an infringement on one's individual liberty, but it might be a way in which we protect the community. So we live not for ourselves, but for our community. And if that's too big of a word for you, for those you love and care for. You do care for your family, your children, your spouse, your parents, maybe your friends, your cousins. So it might be something we might all consider. It might seem inconvenient, but it might be a way in which, just as we wear seatbelts and follow stop at the stop sign, things we do for our community. So, you know, it's not all about you. It's about our community and things we do for our community. If you are listening now, you are listening to your community radio station, KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, and 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it's KBOO.FM. This is More Talk Radio. We are broadcasting live on March 21st. It is 8:30 a.m. I am Cecil Prescott, and I am here with a wonderful engineer, Ray, and we are your hosts this morning. If you would like to give us a call and share some of your thoughts, ask a question, or maybe even sing a song, give us a call at 503-231-8187. I'm kind of open, so this is not a talent show. I want to have the wisdom, your talent of intelligence, but if you have some other talent you can would like to share, we might be open to it. The Honorable Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is offering her service to the nation by agreeing to be nominated by the president to serve as an associate justice to the U.S. Supreme Court. She at 12 o'clock Pacific time will begin her confirmation hearings in the U.S. Senate. Do you have some thoughts about that? Those of you who are here in Oregon, in less than 2 months, we will be voting on a slew of candidates, which will impact the world we are living in. This is related to a lot that has happened in the last 2 years with the onslaught of the COVID virus, the onslaught of the rise in racial reckoning, and the inflation that we are experiencing now. All of these things will influence, I suppose, I hope, our thoughts on who and how we should vote. For those of us in Oregon, it's a vote for governor. In November, there will be at three well-funded candidates, 26 of 60 House members in the Oregon House of Representatives are not running for their seats again, so we'll be voting for that. And for those in Portland, two of the commissioner seats are up for elections. We'll be voting on that. Those are some of our thoughts. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And we will have some thoughts shared with us from Lau. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Cecil. Yes, so I'll join in with, you know, the responses on, you know, the wearing of masks. And, you know, it's the human population is extremely complex. And, you know, whether what's going to happen with this disease, it seems to be now that it's close to maybe 2.5 years since it had been first discovered, that this thing is, well, you know, we have to take into account the level of vaccination, not just in the U.S., but around the world. And, you know, then our Congress has something to do with that too, you know, whether they want to fund, you know, vaccination and other things, you know, to try to, well, not just in the U.S. and funding for vaccines around the world.
Yes.
So until we can get, unless the whole planet can get sufficiently vaccinated, this, I mean, think of the flu, the influenza, you know, that's been around for slightly over a century now. So this could very well be one of those diseases that will persist. And I guess we're getting closer to an answer as to whether or not this masking thing is going to be a permanent thing. It may well be. But, you know, it's there's a whole lot of different, you know, things to go with this. It's the whole industrial economy.
Yes.
You know, the industrial economy makes it more favorable for these diseases. So, So, yeah, it's a big question. Are we going to, is this, you know, the U.S. public transportation at this point is still requiring the wearing of masks up until at least April 18th. I guess the question will be, by that time, are the mask mandates for, say, going into public places going to, at that point, still be optional, or maybe they may be coming back with this? You know, it's going to be one variant and subvariant after another.
Right.
I think it's a guarantee.
Well, you know,
how are...
excuse me. I think you raise a very good point and observation that that it is necessary to think in terms of not only our own community or the U.S., but worldwide. It isn't as if it stops at the border and we ask for a passport. These variants will continue to exist until, as you suggested, the vaccination rate for the whole world is higher, and that's very important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also know a group called On the Move. It's adults with disabilities that they get them out in the community. Now, it definitely it was a big change for them. They have people with weak immune systems, so they are extra careful about, you know, as soon as the mask mandate started coming up over 2 years ago, you know, they pretty much, even now, as they go back to, they went on Zoom for a while instead of going out into the community, but then they have been going back out into the community. But when people want to come up to the office and visit, it's kind of like they practically open the place up, and stay outside of the office. You know, it's kind of complex. You know, I asked a question, one of the staff people, about what about people with asthma? Uh-huh. Because, you know, there are people that have to wear the mask because they have weak immune systems. But what about people that naturally have a breathing problem, like people with asthma? And and I was told that they had to stay out of activities. They pretty much have to stay out of public places. Right. So it's really a big it's really, really rough.
Yeah. Well,
for some people.
Yeah, I really appreciate your call, and by allowing us to see that it is more than, you know, an issue about an individual. It's in terms of the community. So I really appreciate what you shared about on the move and adults with disabilities and being concerned for our neighbors. But also, I think it was helpful by sharing about those with asthma who find wearing a mask might be difficult. So I think what I've gained from your thoughts this morning is that we have to think wider about the community, about all of us, and what's best for the community. And the community is more than my little corner of the world. It is indeed the whole world. But we need to move on to our next caller. Thank you so much for sharing. And
yeah, sure.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye-bye now. Thank you, Lyle. And we'll go to Robbie. Good morning, Robbie.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes,
I have asthma, actually. I have I had really, really bad asthma growing up, and really bad allergies when I was growing up as a kid. And wearing the mask wasn't really great, because I feel like, especially the not the cloth, but like the surgical ones, they would kind of feather off, and all the little hairs would go right into my respiratory system when I'm wearing it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of have a different opinion about the COVID. I think it's getting less severe.
Uh-huh.
I think that definitely people who are, you know, immunocompromised should totally be taking, you know, their precautions.
Uh-huh.
I think people should be getting vaccinated who are concerned for it. But I wasn't. And the reason was is because I delivered to all the hospitals through the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
Everybody had gotten COVID in January and December at my job, you know, 2 to 3 months before our first case was reported in the news.
Mm.
And I continued to deliver to all the grocery stores and hospitals, and I never got it.
Mm.
So when it came time to, I didn't really see the need to, especially considering the fact that the Merriam-Webster Dictionary had to change the definition of vaccine because of the mRNA vaccines. They've changed the role of what a vaccine is. And you can look it up, and, you know, that's not controversial. That is a fact that they had to change the definition of what a vaccine does, because it still allows transmission and it still allows people to get it.
Yeah.
So those things along, and here's the thing, we keep hearing on the news all the time that there's, the hospitalization rates and the death rates of COVID. Here's my problem. I don't know if you heard on the news, but Dr. Fauci has said that the hospitalization of children is actually a missed statistic. He said it on the Rachel Maddow show, because basically everybody who goes to the hospital gets a COVID test.
Uh-huh.
Now, whether or not they're hospitalized because of COVID or with COVID, which is basically they're counting all cases. The same goes for death rates, and that happened in New York. So, I'm not trying to say that the COVID is lower than what it is. I'm saying that it's wrong. I'm just saying that the statistic is wrong. And I think that there's a lot of fear still being, you know, sold around by the big pharmaceutical industry. Well, it's hard for me to decipher what is big pharmaceutical controlling us with fear and what's not. Right. Because if the deaths are going down, if the hospitalizations are going down, but we're still getting the COVID deaths told to us in the report, you know, in the news, that just seems like a fear tactic.
So what I hear from you is that there's a lot we don't know, and that you also share that you delivered to a lot of, I think you said grocery stores, and you went to hospitals during the height of the pandemic, and you did not become sick. But I think you also acknowledged that you might have had the virus and you could have shared it with someone. So, but also you shared, you know, some of the challenges we face, and also it's good to have a healthy suspicion of the information we receive and who gives it to us. But we have another caller online, so thank you so much for calling and sharing. And stay healthy. Thank you so much. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO. I'm Cecil Prescott, and we will talk to Tim. Tim, good morning.
That's me. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Hey, I'm calling up. It's a slightly different topic, but
sure.
I've been to the news today, and they were talking about Israel and their contribution towards Ukraine, and how our wonderful democratic ally is not taking part in the embargo. $500 million worth of Russian oil is bought by Israel every year, and they have a diversified range of countries that they buy the oil from, so it's not like they're dependent only on Russia, yet they refuse to initiate an embargo or take part in sanctions or any of the thing our allies are doing. So what's up with our great democratic ally, Israel, right? And I just don't think it's right. I think what we should do is cut $2 billion of the military aid from Israel and redirect it to the Ukraine.
All right. That'll be quite a shift. I'm unaware of – do you know what news source you heard this about Israel and the oil?
It's been on OPB.
So it's
SNBC.
Okay, so it's out there.
Yeah, it's out there.
Okay.
Can look right up the internet.
Right. Okay, well.
Asking for that Iron Dome from Israel to protect them from the missiles. Now, Israel was begging for that from us, and we gave it to them, so why can't they share the technology with the Ukrainians? Mm. And not only that, when the war first started, and people were fleeing to other countries, Israel had opened up their borders to accept some refugees. But when the refugees came in, it turned out only about 20% were Jews. So they sent the other ones back to where they came from.
Oh, okay. Okay, now you're going a bit farther or different than the topics I wanted to share, talk about this morning. It's really important. I'm just not at this moment in a position where I can, I think, offer any intelligence response to some of the important questions you raise. So thank you so much for your thoughts this morning. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. We have about 11 more minutes. We had a potpourri of topics this morning. A lot of the conversation this morning have been about people's thoughts on the lifting of mask mandates, but other thoughts I have shared and would be interested in hearing your responses to are the confirmation hearing of Ketanji Brown Jackson this week for 4 days. I think it's like 18 hours. She'll be, you know, if she can survive that, then she might be a good choice for the U.S. Supreme Court. Also, the primary elections that are happening in Oregon in less than 2 months for governor, for representatives in the Oregon State House, and for those in Portland, two of the commissioners races are open, and those are very competitive races as well. What are some of your thoughts on that? We've had a few callers this morning. Most of it have been around COVID and masks. Whether we should wear masks or not, what are the impact on on COVID, on how we live with one another. Are we able to make the adjustment? Is wearing a mask in crowded or indoor places going to be just something that people do? I also recognize that I suspect it's also somewhat cultural and also depends where you live. Now, I don't have any data to confirm my suspicion, but I suspect that people, it depends on what area of the state or the country that you live. Some of the states have been very vocal about lifting mask mandates and you shouldn't wear masks and our freedom. So if you go to places like Arizona or Florida or Texas, I think you'll be less likely to see a lot of people with masks, as opposed to some other states who had the mask mandates longer. And I think you'll see more people percentage-wise wear a mask. That's something I don't have any stats on. It's just something I suspect. But what do you think? As the COVID BA2 variant is on the way and may even be here, it's, you know, one thing we are discovering about the virus as it continues to mutate, whether or not the vaccines, and I appreciate what one caller shared with us, which is a reminder of what are vaccines. Vaccines don't necessarily prevent you from getting ill or prevent you from having the virus, but it will reduce symptoms and how well you will be if you have the virus. Also, it will not prevent you from transmitting the virus. So we have lots of things to consider and things to juggle. I want to remind those of you who are listening live on this Monday, March 21st, that coming up following this program is the Old Mo Variety Hour, which is a long-running program. There have several topics that I think should be of interest to you. Movie Mo Joe Clement and Jan Hocken review the new Pixar Disney film Turning Red. Sharon Grant will also have comments on women history from a black woman's perspective. Yeah. And Black Cake by American author Charmaine Wilkerson, who has lived in Jamaica and is based in Italy. The book Mo, Larry Bolden, will review that novel. So there's also interviews. So stay tuned for that program, which I think is important for news and information. Lots of good things on that program. And lots of good things are on all of our programs. But I think something very good is about to happen on this program when we talk to our next caller, Dr. Freddie. Good morning.
Good morning, Cecil. I hear you. It's a last almost every morning. I really love your show. But I just wanted to comment. Big Pharma making money on this, just like they make money on everything else. And I'm going to tell you now, I really feel sorry for the people of Ukraine. But listen, people in America, we're suffering also. I'm just telling you that I don't know what the president can do and can't do. But he needs to do better for the states. That's all I got to say. And I'm just going to tell you, we have a lot of turnover coming in the local Portland area. Yes. I don't know where you're stationed, but in Portland, we've got a lot of turnover with voting, and people need to pay attention. May 21st is a real important date. voting and also coming up the polls in November. So I just wanted to make sure you do remind people to vote, please, sir. And I thank you for your comments. Love your show. Have a good day, sir.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you for your kind remarks, and thank you for lifting up the importance of voting. One thing that those of us here in Oregon have is that we are very much blessed with an easy way to register for vote. When there is so much things throughout the country, in the federal government and in different states, I think we do not do our responsible duty when we fail to register to vote and to vote. As the previous caller just mentioned, it is so important and it is so simple here in Oregon to register to vote. And we have voting by mail, and you don't even have to put a stamp on the ballot. You just drop it in the box or the mailbox or one of the voter boxes that are throughout your communities, at your libraries, and in city centers. So if you, I think it's important, and that's one thing that I advocate, and I'm not embarrassed by saying the importance of voting, especially as the last caller said, there are so many local elections that have an impact on your daily lives. Now, what's happening beyond our borders may appear to be something that is not your responsibility or that you can do anything about. I beg to differ. But even if that was the case, I think you will think that you are concerned about local issues, about policing in your communities, about housing in your community, about when and where the trash is picked up in your local community, about school board policies in your local communities. These are all important things that we can do something about. So if you are not registered, go and get registered and vote, because voting really matters. Okay, that's the end of my commercial for that. It's just something I feel passionate about, because I remember my relatives struggling for so long in terms of getting the right to vote, and too many people in this country died for the opportunity to participate as full citizens. Something that we all should be concerned about. So thank you, Dr. Freddy, for just pressing that issue on. I want to thank you, all of you who are listening, and all of you who are members of this radio station. KBOO is your community radio station, and you can make it a better community radio station by donating, by participating. Go to our website, kboo.fm, and click on the donate button, and offer what you can to make sure that community-run, volunteer-driven radio remains a possibility for us and our community as we allow our voices to be lifted up and shared with one another. So you have been listening on this Monday and every Monday at, what time do we come on? 8 o'clock, 8 a.m. Pacific time, to More Talk Radio. I am Cecil. I'm usually here with Celeste, and we are here with Ray, our engineer, and all of you. So thank you so much for listening and taking time this morning or whenever you are able to listen to this program. Continue to be informed, continue to care, and work for your community, and continue to make a positive, transformative change in the world we live in. Take care of yourself and take care of those around you. Take care of our planet. You have been listening to more talk radio here on KBOO-FM. Have a great day. I'm Cecil Prescott. Good day.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Good morning. You are tuned to KBOO Portland. Welcome.